From Illinois Public Media, this is The 21st. I'm Reginald Hardwick, in for Brian Mackey today. Coming up, we'll revisit a conversation with a journalist from The Atlantic who underwent an experiment to change her personality in 3 months. We'll hear from her and a personality research about how it went, and if by changing our habits, we can truly change ourselves. But first, early Saturday morning, state lawmakers in Springfield wrapped the spring legislative session. They passed a $46.5 billion budget. Here's what Governor J.B. Pritzker had to say about it.
We end this legislative session with enormous and historic victories for the people of Illinois. Gas, grocery, and property tax relief. More support for local government than ever before, a massive improvement in staffing for our nursing home residents, short and long-term debt reduction, and a balanced budget for the fourth year in a row.
Joining us now to talk about the spending plan for the upcoming fiscal year, Dan Petrella, who covers state government for the Chicago Tribune, and Peter Hancock, State House reporter for Capital News Illinois. Welcome to The 21st.
Thanks, Reginald. Good to be here.
And if all of you listening have some thoughts on the recently passed budget or have questions for our expert reporters, give us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. We're seeing a lot of tweets from reporters who cover state politics that the final days of the legislative session are sort of a frenzy. And Peter and Dan, I wanted to ask, can you both describe what it was like inside the Capitol early Saturday morning? Peter, we'll start with you.
Okay, well, if you've never been in a state house on the final day of a session, it is kind of hard to describe. Part of it is this flurry of action as they work through mountains of bills. And then there are these long lulls where everybody's just kind of in hurry up and wait mode while negotiators are meeting in back rooms somewhere, working on the budget or working on the last major pieces of legislation. And it can seem endless. I think the session, the final day of the session, started around 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday, and it finished around 6 o'clock in the morning on Saturday. So it was it's a marathon, exhausting, grueling kind of day where tempers can start to flare, nerves start to get edgy, and it can be kind of intense at sometimes.
Dan, how was it for you?
I think in one word, exhausting. Like Peter said, it's a long, grueling day. A lot of waiting, a lot of, scurrying around and trying to figure out what's going on in those back rooms, what's holding things up, sometimes just waiting for massive bills to be printed so that they can officially be voted on and heard, or waiting for them to move, from one chamber to the other. So, it's always interesting that it seems like no matter what the circumstances are, it always comes down to the wire, especially on the budget, but there are so many different pieces to it and so many different interests to try to satisfy. It sometimes takes that pressure of an impending deadline to get things done.
Well, both Democratic and Republican parties put a lot of attention on crime this session. Democratic State Senator L.G. Sims says the budget includes an increase of $90 million to add 300 state troopers. Dan, what else was approved to fight crime?
There was about $200 million in additional funding for some new programs that were approved largely, Democratic initiatives, some of which had Republican support, despite their thoughts that they didn't go far enough to address crime issues. Things like more cameras along expressways, some different programs to try and address some of the root causes of crime, a new fund to help retain and recruit new police officers for local police departments, just a whole host of different initiatives to try and address some of these concerns that have been raised, particularly by Republicans who have really seen this as an issue that they can hammer the Democrats with in this election year.
Are there any increases for education?
Yes, there is about a 5% across the board increase for higher education, and the K-12 schools will be getting their annual increase of $350 million or so above last year's funding. I think total K through 12 and higher ed is about $12 billion of that $46 billion operating budget.
Peter, if people have lived in Illinois for any length of time, they know that the state budget woes and the General Assembly are often in the same sentence. This year, I understand the budget had a major surplus. And where did that money come from?
Well, revenues did very well in the last year. The economy has recovered from the pandemic, I think, a little faster than most people would have expected. And so one of the big contentious fights there was whether or not we should use this surplus for some kind of one-time tax relief or whether it should be permanent tax relief, which is what the Republicans were pushing for. I think the Democrats were taking the view that we don't know if this was a one-time surge in revenue or if this is part of a larger trend. One of the things we've seen since the pandemic is as people have gone back to work, they're spending a lot more on goods, which are taxable under retail sales tax, and less money on services, which are generally untaxed. So that accounted for a pretty sizable percentage of the overall increase. What we don't know is whether or not that's part of a long-term trend or if that's just kind of a one-time thing. So I think the Democrats focused on temporary tax relief, but certainly the Republicans were out there saying it should have been permanent tax relief. And that's going to be one of their main campaign issues going into the 2022 election cycle.
That didn't seem to ignore, though, that the plan actually did include some permanent tax relief for low and moderate income folks through an expansion of the earned income tax credit to the tune of about $100 million a year. You know, folks who are on the lower end of the economic scale will get a permanent increase in that credit. And that was something that was kind of unclear going into the last few days whether it was going to happen or not, but it was in the final package that was approved.
And we understand some Illinoisans will receive checks in the mail. So, you know, how does that break down depending on salary?
Sure. So it's, I believe, over 90% of taxpayers, if you're an individual earning less than $200,000 a year or joint filers earning less than $400,000 a year, you will get a $50 credit per taxpayer and then a $100 credit per child up to three children. You know, so a family of four, for example, would get a $300 check in the mail sometime after July 1st, coincidentally, just in time for the November election.
And also, we may see some tax relief either at the gas pump or the grocery store.
Yeah, the tax relief at the gas pump is probably not going to be that noticeable. A couple of years ago, the legislature passed a bill that calls for annual inflation adjustments to the motor fuel tax. So every year, the motor fuel tax rate goes up by the rate of inflation. What they decided to do was to suspend that increase, which was going to be a little over 2 cents a gallon, for 6 months, up until January 1st. So you're not going to see a decrease necessarily in your gas tax, but you won't see that 2 cent increase. And then on, the grocery tax, this is a 1% grocery tax, much lower than the regular sales tax. And they're going to suspend that for 1 year. I believe it's 1 year, maybe. I don't know if that changed in the final hours, Dan.
No, that's correct. It's 12 months. Yeah.
So that 1% sales tax, now that money goes to local governments. It doesn't really go into the state coffers, but the state is going to backfill that so that local governments don't get hit with that decline in revenue.
We're talking about the recently passed $46.5 billion spending plan passed by Illinois lawmakers just before 6 a.m. Saturday morning with State House reporters Dan Petrella of the Chicago Tribune and Peter Hancock of Capital News Illinois. And we're taking your calls and questions at 800-222-9455. Again, 800-222-9455. Peter, I understand this legislative session was a bit shorter than most, ending in April instead of May. Can you explain why?
Yeah, the election cycle got all messed up this year because the Census Bureau was late getting the 2020 census numbers out. That pushed back the decennial redistricting process. So by the time, you know, we didn't really know what the district boundaries were going to look like until very late in the year, especially the congressional districts. And so they pushed the primary back to late June. And so by abbreviating the session, ending in early April, that gives lawmakers and others time to go back and campaign for the June primaries. Part of it has to do with the fact that there are restrictions on how you can raise money while the legislature is in session. So they needed the session to end so that they can raise money and campaign ahead of the June primary.
And we already know Republicans, from campaign ads to their talking points, are saying Governor Pritzker and the Democratic lawmakers are soft on crime. We talked about some of the initiatives that were passed. Will any of the bills and spending this year put a dent in that argument, Dan?
Well, that's definitely the attempt by the Democrats. You know, they pointed out all the money that they're putting into law enforcement and public safety initiatives, you know, on top of the 200 or so million or so that we talked about earlier. There's another roughly $240 million going to an initiative that the governor has called Reimagine Public Safety. Most of that is coming from federal coronavirus relief funds. You know, and Republicans did vote against a budget that funds lots of initiatives, lots of things that are supposed to help law enforcement. So you're going to hear Democrats, you know, pushing back on the accusations that they want to, quote unquote, defund the police, by saying, look, we approved a budget that sends more money to law enforcement. Republicans are the ones who didn't vote to fund the police. So it's going to be interesting to see how that message resonates with voters. But that's definitely something I think we will hear in television commercials and see in campaign mailers and things like that over the next few months, or perhaps more so during the fall election cycle.
I know we're getting into campaign season as, you know, we head towards the June 28th primary, and I did read that that there was a vote to possibly take a not so subtle swipe at mega donor Kenneth Griffin by moving to complicate fundraising in judicial races. Was that a surprise to you too?
It was not something that had been on my radar. They took some action last fall to limit outside of the state contributions and contributions from organizations with anonymous donors in judicial races. And this is just trying to clamp down even more on the size of contributions from people aside from judicial candidates themselves or their immediate family. You know, there's lots of concern about, you know, the influence of outside money on the judiciary. And at the same time, there's lots of concern from Illinois Democrats that they might lose their 4-3 majority on the Supreme Court after Justice Thomas Kilbride lost his retention vote back in 2020. So they want to make sure that they sort of shore up their ability to support Democrats for both the Supreme Court and appellate courts across the state.
Peter, when does the session meet again, and what are you expecting to happen?
Well, lawmakers will come back for their fall veto session. I don't know that that's been scheduled yet. It's usually in late October, early November. Of course, that'll be right around election time. And I'm not entirely sure what to expect at this point. You know, I think Democrats are very concerned about the possibility of losing their supermajorities in both chambers. Usually, you know, at the federal level, the party that's in the White House tends to suffer some setbacks in the first midterm elections, and oftentimes that trickles down to the state level. And so we're just going to, I think we're just going to have to see how the economy looks, what the pandemic looks like at that point, and how people are responding to the crime rate and everything else.
Dan, we've got about 30 seconds left. What are you going to be keeping your eye on when the legislators meet again in Springfield?
Well, my expectation would be that they may push back the veto session a little bit this year and not come back until after the election in November. So maybe closer to Thanksgiving. So if there's any, you know, sort of controversial issues that come up between now and then, it'll be interesting to see whether they sort of use votes from outgoing, quote unquote, lame duck legislators to push through anything that they might not have wanted to do before the election. What exactly that might be, I can't really say at this point.
Well, we know the two of you will be staying on top of things, and I also hope you both were able to get some rest after a long Friday night into Saturday. That was State House reporters Dan Petrella of the Chicago Tribune and Peter Hancock of Capital News Illinois. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Thanks.
And coming up, we'll revisit a conversation with a journalist from The Atlantic who underwent an experiment to change her personality in 3 months. You're listening to The 21st from Illinois Public Media. I'm Reginald Hardwick in for Brian Mackey, and stay tuned.